The Sex Ed with Tim podcast is recorded on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed with the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
You're listening to Sex Ed with Tim.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. It is me, Tim, certified sex educator. I identify as your local chaotic homosexual. And if a stork is the bird that brings the baby, then I guess that means the swallow is the one that prevents it. I hate myself for that. You can laugh. It's stupid.
That was I have so much respect for you, and it went down like 3% yeah, just now.
As it
like,
should.
Okay.
As it should.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, I'm the better one in this interview. Cool.
You're the better one in this conversation. Yeah.
Superior. Cool.
I thought I was a respected educator, but I guess I'm a disrespected educator because this is absolute swill, sewage, garbaggio. Disgusting.
Fantastic. I came to the right fucking place today. Well done.
You did. Oh my God. To my beautiful listeners that have just tuned in, that beautiful voice you hear on the other end of the mic is trauma counselor, sex educator, sex worker, Fiona Dawson. Fiona, how?
Hi, friends.
Ooh, okay. Wow. For free?
Hi.
For free?
I know. I'm so generous with my tippers. What can I say?
Hi, friends.
Hi.
My friend makes fun of me because I start every video on my OnlyFans with hi.
You actually?
Every time. Like, I've learned to rework the pattern, but when I first started, everything was just like me popping on screen being like, hi, and then I like shyly giggle and like look away.
Oh my God, that's so coy. Like, as I tuck my imaginary hair behind my ear. Oh my God, that meme from Disney from whatever that show is where she like tucks her hair and she's like side pout.
Fuck, I forgot about that one. Yes.
Debbie Ryan, exactly, thank you so much for that. Fiona, how are you, first of all? How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm just having a day of working on my master's and then filming content after this. So I don't know. And when I'm invited to talk about sex for an hour, I just can't say no to that ever. So this is amazing. Thank you for having me.
It's just like a little orgasm in your mouth kind of thing.
Exactly. Just a little mouthy to start the day.
I feel like you and I know each other for some time because we've been like on each other's social media for a while. But like this is literally the first time we're talking to each other. And already we're like chaotic in the best way possible.
Yeah, no. Just like beautiful carnage. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah, I used to go to Brass Fixins, where I know you're a teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And it made me so happy seeing like all of a sudden Gay Slut Clown as a new instructor. And I'm like, I am intrigued. But you're a beautiful pole dancer, so I was following you for a while there. You. And then seeing we're like in the same lane of work, I'm like, oh. This is
a match made in heaven.
This is my boy right here. Fuck yes. Absolutely.
A lot of people, they get like this sort of look. They're like, wait, that's your handle? Am I seeing that right? I'm like, yeah, that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
This is me. Well, I'm learning about you as that subtlety probably isn't like your thing. So just let people know where you are right off the
subtle?
Bat.
No. How could I ever be? Oh my goodness, I'm so humble and modest.
I know. Oh my word.
As I show my full
just a subtle
hole.
Introvert.
As I always show off my full hole in front of like strangers online. When they ask for it, it's never fantastic. Unsolicited. Excuse me.
Beautiful.
Which I never understood why that was a thing with guys.
regardless of sexual orientation, whether you're straight, gay, whatever, you, for whatever reason, feel like the need to show your dick slash hole without anybody asking for it. And I'm like, why? Why? I don't get it.
I'm not justifying it. It is a fucked up thing to do. I've been curious about this for a while, and especially because I'm just getting this perspective from my OnlyFans a lot. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I wonder it's from a place of insecurity of no, maybe nobody wants to see my dick, so I'm just gonna like throw it out there because I want someone to see my dick. Again, I'm not justifying it by any means, but sometimes I just see like someone who's like, am I enough? Like, they just want to throw it out there. But then I'm like, oh, motherfucker, you need to, actually, people would like to see your dick if you pay them or if they're just curious. And like, we can talk about that. But just like not knowing how to communicate that tends to lead to like sexual harassment.
I mean, it is sexual harassment. It's kind of like when this stranger on the street will just like open their trench coat and be like, look. And I'm like, you know, my favorite response as of late is whenever somebody sends me a hole or dick pic or whatever unsolicited, I would reply back with a screenshot from Finding Nemo where Dory says to a jellyfish, hey, little guy. It just shuts them up.
Oh my God. That's so good. I'm going to use that for the rest of my life. Thank you so much.
Hey, little guy.
I've already learned so much from you.
Oh my God. I love doing that stupid kind of shit to like the most strange, creepy men that like try to flirt with me online. I had another one where it was like, this guy is asking me how wet I am. And I'm like, okay, it doesn't work like that. So I decided to like fuck with him and just like, you want to see my wet pussy, baby? And he's like, yeah. So I sent him a picture of a cat drenched in water.
just on the nose, really straight ugly up showbiz. Cat
drenched and just like the scariest, terrified face on him, just like, and he was like, all right, you're not taking this seriously. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I didn't ask for this. So what do you expect? It's like they can't eat the dish that's being served back to them, you know?
Yes, exactly. I was talking to a subscriber a few days ago. We were on a video call and they told me a story of when they first got on OnlyFans and were talking to sex workers. They just didn't really understand the etiquette of it yet. So they were chatting. I know, sweetie.
Sorry, I just made a face. Like, oh, what?
No,
they don't know how to talk to a person?
A very, very valid thing. But I think that his assumption, and I'm not, again, not excusing it, but his assumption was I paid for the subscription fee and we're chatting. So like, dick pic, cool. And so they just like kind of out of the blue sent a sex worker a dick pic photo. Just classic move. And I have I have my limits, but I think just me coming from such a privileged place in sex work, I usually have the capacity, if I see where somebody's like fucking up, but they have good intentions, I have the energy to correct them a bit. And a lot of my friends and most sex workers do not. And I don't fucking blame them. Like, it's not our job to be like educating on how to be a nice person. But it turns out that he did this to a friend of mine and my friend just tore into him. Like, just fucking was like, you are so fucked up for doing this. You owe me a shit ton of money now. This is so uncool. And yeah, my subscriber was like, yeah, so they like really put me in like my place and I've learned from that. And I was like so proud of my friend in that moment.
Good. Like, my God.
Good work, pal.
Yeah.
You did good. Like, you did good.
I understand that there can be some line that seems a little blurry because of the nature of our work. Like, sex work makes you feel like, you know, you can be vulnerable with the sex worker because you're paying for a very specific service. But people need to remember this is a service, you know. This we're selling an experience, we're selling a fantasy, and it should be treated with the same amount of respect, because this is a person who is working for you. You hired them, so you can't just be like, oh, I'm just going to show you whatever I want, whenever I want. And it's like, no, you're paying for our time, okay? You're paying for a very specific time and a very specific interaction that does not give you carte blanche to just be like, I'm an asshole, so look at my asshole, or whatever it is straight men sound like. I think that's my best straight man impression.
You sound like every man I've ever slept with right now. No, I was just like, oh,
oh my God, do like, I? Oh,
yeah. I'm just like, oh, is that my whole history right then, there? Fun.
I've tried to put on some straight boy drag, like just be like, yo, I got a podcast. No.
Oh, that's so good. My favorite is like, and like, I am a sucker for this bullshit, but just like a guy being like, hey, David Fincher movies, let's talk about them. Like just a guy that wants to talk about Fight Club for 2 hours and be like,
hey,
cool, yeah, man.
Elon Musk is the best.
They just start a combo with, hey, Elon Musk
is great. I go to the gym. Oh. I love women.
Ew. IPA beers and
and NASCAR and basketball. I have zero clue into what straight guys are into.
My favorite was you went to NASCAR.
Is that a thing?
No, it's a thing. It's for sure a thing. I think it is a thing only reserved for straight men. I heard that Michael Fassbender quit acting for a while to be like a race car driver, and I'm like, yeah, that's the straightest thing I've ever heard.
Mikey Fassy, oh baby, please stick to what you know.
Just being a terrifying straight man on camera,
honestly,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, that is two of my favorite turn-ons, being terrifying and being straight. I'm just like, I'm so wet.
Oh my God.
Two things that I will never, ever date, which is two things that I will fuck.
So proud. Good, you know that distinction, both equally valid. Love
yeah,
it. Absolutely.
The number of times that I've had a guy just like think that I was going to be into them when I made it very clear that this is strictly physical. It's not going to go beyond this. And I think that is a little bit of something that sex workers need to keep reinforcing, is because the nature of sex work does encapsulate an emotional aspect. And the clients, I feel they always have a difficult time separating the work from the personal. Like, I know for us, we know that this is work. This is always going to be work, and there is a very clear boundary. I rarely ever saw clients outside of the paid hour. But when they started to be like, oh, can I see you like at a cafe or something? I'm like, yeah, but that is my time being paid. And then they're like, oh, I thought we were closer than that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is work.
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly. Have you ever had those kinds of interactions with clients who are like, oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. The way your eyes just grow.
My eyes just widened larger than humanly
Spill
possible.
Some tea.
Well, were you doing escorting?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I briefly did escorting and I was lucky I never really had that problem, I think, because it was always in their place and then I would leave. And I think the barriers were well understood there. I also think the, I was about to say madam, that's such an outdated term, but you know, like the person setting it up, like she was really good at just like making sure they knew what the fuck was up. But now that most of my work is naked therapy. So like, for context, just for my bio to be thrown out there, I'm a certified trauma counselor and I'm not a psychotherapist yet, but I will be in about 2 years. So I'm kind of in that sweet spot of I'm not regulated by anybody, but I have some pretty good skills. So I can go on Zoom naked and chat with people about their sex life. And it like I don't have to, you know, deal with like Canadian Association of Psychotherapy yet. So what's up? But like, I think I'm in one of the most vulnerable places for that line to get blurred, because my focus right now is like girlfriend experience / therapist. So like that, and I can even have sometimes some compassion for when that boundary gets crossed. I know a client of mine would be comfortable with me saying this, but we just had like to correct and to recommunicate our boundaries and that sort of thing. And I had the capacity to do that with him because I know his intentions were good and I know that he respects me, but it was just, he was getting caught up in fantasy versus reality. And I had to remind him like, no, you're paying for my time. This is what's up. I really yelled at him in a voice memo. It was fun.
Bad boy.
But I've also had people who, indeed, but no, he like, we're great. Everything's great. But I've also had clients though who like sent me money once for a photo and then feel entitled to that we're a couple. And I'm like, oh honey, I can't save you there. I'm like, okay, you're blocked. Like, fuck off. No. This is nothing. Yeah. Or one time I was escorting, but I was just on an off night, and a really hammered guy said, I'll give you $200 cash right now. I was at a strip club and they said, I'll give you $200 if I can touch your boobs. And I was like, sick. And he just handed me the cash and I did it. And then he subscribed to my OnlyFans, but then was like, aren't we a couple? Huh? And I'm like, oh, honey. Huh?
Mm-hmm. What? Aren't we a couple?
I know.
You don't even know my birthday. You don't even know like anything about me other than the name that I gave you, which could not even be my real name for all you know.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I think I spoke to this person in real life for about 2 minutes and then they just found my Instagram, which fine, but then it turned into like, so when are we going to meet my parents? I'm like, aw, sweetie.
When are you going to meet my parents? Oh no, the delusional, the being absolute delulu of him. But you know what I think that says about you is that you're probably a really good sex worker then, because you were able to sell the fantasy at such a quick and moment's notice that you made him think that. So kudos to you. My God.
Thanks, love. Thank you.
So then what kind of sex work are you doing now? Just OnlyFans then?
Right now it's OnlyFans, and I make porn with my friends and looking to like submit it to festivals and stuff.
Ooh, festivals, like an AVN kind of thing?
I would, AVN is like scares the shit out of me, but I also really want to go. like I've never been to Vegas and I'm like, if I do go, it's for AVN. Like that's, I need to go for porn and nothing else. But I also have some pretty rad artsy ass friends that submit things to like Berlin Porn Film Festival and like much more like artistic higher class shit. I actually met a lot of my friends because one of my best friends, Go Ask Alex, her and I were connecting and she's like, hey, do you want to be in like a really artistic orgy? And I'm like, sure. And then that's how I met like my crew in this city.
Artistic so, orgy? What do they mean by artistic orgy? Like paint?
Paint. It was just very like elegant. I went in and they rented out a studio. It was like, how do I put this? It was like gay, elegant, softcore Game of Thrones style. Like everything was like silk sheets and like lots of like dramatic, high quality takes. And all of us just like fucking each other and being super gay. And it was super fun
without the incest and the murder and the dragons, but you know.
No, there was incest, there was and, incest dragons, and murder and dragons.
Okay,
oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
got it.
I'm not a prude. Like, of course,
you got to have some of the Khaleesi there.
Absolutely, you got to just have it like a little bit. But no, it looked very like medieval to me, and very like kind of like a period piece. But we were all, you know,
period piece. Is that supposed to be a menstruation joke or? Okay.
It wasn't, but I wish I could do more period porn. That is a side note of something I wish I could do more of, but like most websites don't allow it.
Why? That's a fetish. That's so strange.
I know, but it's because there's blood, and like on OnlyFans, a lot of major websites, you just can't have blood in any of your scenes. And then like in an eye, like I get it, but you're missing like
a huge chunk of the market.
Blood and sex isn't violent. Yeah, you're missing a big chunk of the market. So
that's so strange.
Yeah. I've gotten away with a couple on my site, but yeah.
But that's so strange that porn sites will not allow that to happen. Like, I understand that there are some things that should not be on porn sites. Absolutely, there shouldn't be any sort of like bestiality or any sort of like violence unless it's like very obviously produced and like, you know, it's meant for porn. Like, revenge porn, unsolicited camera pics, absolutely take it off. However, period porn, periods happen. And people who have periods get horny when it happens. So why the fuck not? That's so weird. Yeah. Will tell you, agreed, though, Fiona, that if you are into uploading period porn, why not try Make Love Not Porn?
Oh, yeah. I've never been on there before.
In the last season, I interviewed the founder, Cindy Gallup, who is an amazing businesswoman. She is so lovely. She's like, I can't wait to die alone. I'm happily single. I fuck younger men. And I just love sex. And I'm like, iconic, beautiful, never done before, like bus, another bus, Lady Gaga kind of thing, club, yeah, club, another club, ooh, bus. But in Make Love Not Porn, she will have a team of curators who just watch videos of people not making porn, but just loving themselves, loving their partner. And it comes with all the messiness and the sort of awkwardness of it. Like, for example, there's a video on there where this husband and wife, they're having sex, and then in the background you can hear their kid being like, "Mom, Dad." Oh. And then they're like, "Be right there with you, sweetie." They leave.
Been busy.
They leave the frame, attend to their kid, and then come back to having sex again. And it's like, that's so sweet. So like, oh yeah, I feel like, you know, having periods and like whatever is the messiness of sex should be normalized. So it is strange to me that big porn sites will not even allow period porn.
I completely agree. That sounds beautiful. I'm very surprised I've ever heard of that site. So now I'm going to check it out.
Make Love Not Porn.
Directly after this.
Film. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can, I love it.
Everyone listening, you can listen to that interview. It's season 3 with Cindy Gallup as part of my Vanguard series. It is beautiful. I love everyone I interviewed on that series. They're just all amazing, and they're great innovators within the sex and wellness industry. So one is like from the Moan app, which is like Clubhouse, but for sex, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, you got Cindy Gallup with Make Love Not Porn. And then there's Jules Parker, who makes lingerie for men. And then I believe I had Andre, who is part of the Chosen app, which is an app to help you develop your wellness 365 days a year by giving you reminders that are all backed up by science.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Yes.
What's up, all you sick fucking perverts? Don't you just love love? The Love Shop has everything you need to feel the love in the air, or in between your legs, wherever you want, really. They've got everything from vibrators, lubes, lingerie, and even full-sized sex dolls. Wow, I guess love really does come in all shapes and sizes. Visit loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and use code SEXEDWITHTIM at checkout for 15% off the whole store. And the best part is that they ship all over Canada, US, and what? Ireland? To all my whores in Dublin, top of the morning to ya. That's loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and check out code SEXEDWITHTIM for 15% off the entire store. Now get to fucking. Do you like feeling sexy and looking sexy? Of course you do. Only my listeners are sexy as fuck. I have partnered with fetishwear designer Dale Kuda to bring you the hottest deals on custom jockstraps, harnesses, hats, and more. Head over to dalekuda.com, that's dalekuda.com, and use code SEXEDWITHTIM at checkout for 25% off the entire store. Yeah, you heard me, 25% off. And cherry on top, free shipping. Oh my god. I have a few of the stuff that he has made for me. And girl, I'm wearing it right now. I'm wearing like a little jock strap so that I could easily just like slip a little butt plug or dildo every now and then here and there. And I'm on the train. I'm just like, thank you, Dale. That's dalecuda.com with the code SEXEDWITHTIM for 25% off your entire purchase with free shipping. With a deal like that, I swear I could come buckets, honey.
The show is about to begin.
Yes.
Fiona, did you go into sex work before you were an educator? Or like, what was the order of your sex journey like?
Oh my God. That's a long question. Well, okay. Another brief bio about me. So my background was originally in theater. I was so determined to be like a Shakespeare actor.
And to now be looking back, I'm like,
oh, fuck yeah. And I like, if this was a Shakespeare combo, I'd be like so condescending about the Hamlet speech right now and be like, okay.
Hamlet's
like
such a whiny little bitch. I'm sorry, but
he's such a little turd. Oh my god. We get it. Your dad's dead. Move on. But like, also,
oh, your uncle's like, trying to take over. Okay. Wow, a dysfunctional family. Be original.
Welcome to our fucking lives, Hamlet. Okay. So yeah, I really went into that. I was like super determined when I was like 17. Oh my god, it's so funny thinking about it now. But I realized what I liked most about theater was the connection with emotion and bodies and how emotion like manifests in a physical way. I started writing my own work and I realized it was just so based on sexuality, connection, romance. All of these themes were there. And then I thought, while I'm auditioning and living my life, I'm going to try being a doula as like a side gig. And then after my first birth, I was like, oh, fuck acting. This is so much more interesting to me. I've just always been, that was sort of the spark where I realized how fascinated I am with bodies and just the wild things that they can do. So then doula turned into counselor. I went back to school for that. But then I figured out while I was in school that sex work was kind of the perfect way to combine my love of making art and my love of sexuality and putting those together. So I guess I've been doing sex work, to answer your question, I guess I've been doing sex work longer than being a sex educator, but it sort of feels like the two go hand in hand.
That's what I was about to say. Right. Because as a sex worker, one of your jobs is to like, you know, enforce boundaries and tell the client like, oh, this is what we're going to do. This is what not to do. So in a way it is educational. So therefore a sex worker is sort of like a sex educator in the same way that sex educators are, because we're talking about sex, we're working. Sex educators are also kind of like sex workers. So yeah.
Absolutely. Right? And yeah, when I started escorting, my focus was, I didn't do it too many times, but I was working for a company that specifically connected escorts with people with disabilities, with physical disabilities. So I slept with a lot of people who had never had any kind of sexual intimacy at all, including had never been kissed. So it was very much like a sex education role.
Never been
in that way.
Kissed. That sounds like a rom-com or something.
Never Been Kissed is a rom-com with Drew Barrymore. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't thinking that. So it is.
I love
you. You're
like, that should be a movie. I'm like, it's a pretty famous one, sweetie.
Listen, she's got some culture. I've got about as much culture as yogurt. Okay, so
it's a very straight movie, to be fair. Okay. So maybe that's
probably not why it was under my radar. But yes, speaking of straight, is that like your main demographic? Just like straight men?
I have had people subscribe to me that aren't, and that makes me very, very happy. I've had a few ace people also subscribe to me, and that made me so happy. I think because now my OnlyFans is combining sex work and sex education. I jerk off, I'm doing the thing, but I really try to put it in a realistic way as possible. So usually it is straight cis men, and I realized I've had a pretty awesome opportunity to learn their perspective a lot more, which again, I think is why I'm a little bit more patient when sometimes people fuck up. And also, yeah, seeing their perspective and also showing them the sex education that they never had. Because, like, nobody really had sex education, especially straight cis men.
Oh, God. So. Oh, let's talk about it. Because the bullshit that straight cis men spew. Oh, my God. Like, I've seen way too many straight guys behind a mic on whatever they call a podcast. And the number of times where I just like roll my eyes, I feel like I'm a slot machine, just like rolling my eyes. How many times? It is alarming how some guys, they would say the stupidest shit, kind of like to a woman, they're like, oh, why don't you want to have kids? That's so selfish of you. I'm like, huh?
Oh my God. What?
Yeah, that's something like that. Yeah. Or like
fucked up.
Or like whenever people listen to this, that they've probably heard of the whole Matt Rife kind of situation where like you're very clearly tied into straight male validation when it was women who like validated you and made you where you are today. So it is just really weird how they have this sort of like, they live in a different plane of existence, I feel. And
yeah,
it is really strange to me that the education that they receive is so like, I'd say it's probably not even there. It's not like, what do you think, Fiona, is like the gap for straight men that they're not getting the same kind of sex education that you and I are getting?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think a big part of it is us being in queer culture.
Mm.
There's, of course, the frat boys that I have no patience for. And, you know, like, especially the podcasts where dudes are talking to each other about their sex lives. Whenever I hear that, I'm usually like, that doesn't sound like enjoyable sex for any party, and it sounds like you're just you're making shit up, or you're just like looking for validation from your other male friends. I always think that of like they're just telling a sex story, and I'm like, this just feels like you had sex in this way to brag about it later. and probably thought it was fine, but like not even amazing. But I think even for cis straight men that are educated, that understand communication, consent, all of those things, there's still a very clear formula for heteronormative sex. It's always you make out for a while, and then there's hand stuff, and then there's mouth stuff, and then you have intercourse, and then the man ejaculates, and then you're done. Like, it's just very by the book. And it's not, I mean, I don't like not hating men, but I don't find it an individual's fault.
I don't hate all men. Some of my friends are men.
I know like 4 nice guys, but like, it's more just the system. But I think it's also just the system that we're in, that's sort of our education is like, this is what's standard. And with queer people, there isn't so much of a blueprint. There just isn't, in that you're not working with the same body parts. And so kind of the whole, what do we do next is off the table. And it's just human beings exploring. And it's not weird if, say, one person isn't into anal and one person isn't into blowjobs and one person isn't into this or that or whatever. So you just communicate and you explore together what you like. And I feel pretty lucky that with Naked Therapy and even in general with my OnlyFans that I can kind of unlearn that formula for people. And it leads for better sex for them too. It just does, especially as they get older.
I agree. Because I think when you work within a queer trauma-informed framework, that allows for a lot of freedom and liberation from heteronormative sexual standards. So in a way, I do feel kind of bad for straight guys. I know, like, ugh, God.
It feels so gross to say it, but I'm like, but, it's true. Yeah,
like, I'm, like, you know, joking aside, I do feel bad that they have this very one-dimensional view of sex in that, like, they think sex should only be penis and vagina, and that's it, right? And, like, of course, what I'm saying is a generalization because not all straight men, hashtag whatever, but but for the most part of it, straight guys have only this sort of one view that, like, they should be the macho one and the penetrator and the one who should always be, like, the provider and blah, blah, blah. And I say this as a guy myself. That's fucking exhausting to have all that pressure on you to be macho, masculine, big dicked, and providing, and you have to be like this sort of breadwinner, and you're also pressured into having children. So everyone listening, that's heteropatriarchy affecting everybody. Yes, not just the gays, not just the girls, and not just the theys, it's everybody. So they feel like there's this sort of pressure to have sex for the sake of reproducing, and reproducing for the sake of continuing your quote-unquote legacy, as if you're supposed to pass down your property and make it so that you are immortal and you live on forever. And that's a lot of fucking pressure. I don't think I could ever be, could not be me. Could not be me. Sorry. I can't. So then how do we start teaching cis straight men that this is not the only way to have sex? Because, like, you and I, as sex workers and sex educators, you and I both know that there's more to sex than just penetration.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of people, that's a lot of times their sex is not defined by penetration at all. And when I was younger and hadn't come out yet, I was very self-conscious. And honestly, like, I still kind of work through it sometimes, even though I have so much more sexual confidence. But I was a late bloomer, and having what counted, quote unquote, and what didn't count as sex was a very weird thing for me to navigate, you know, even in high school, university, in those years of like, are people talking about like how many people that they've had sex with? It's just a lot of pressure that you put on yourself at a young age to appear desirable in that sort of way. And the idea of even like what counts and what doesn't count as sex is factually inaccurate by every sex researcher at this point. But people still really hold on to that. And people still really think that's what defines them as well, is how many people I've had my penis inside of their vagina, or vice versa, or anything like that. And that makes me very sad. And I'm also incredibly fascinated by that as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Same here. It is so... What's the word I'm trying? Like, I extend my heart out to those who are not as educated. I'm sorry, I can't say this with a straight face because I'm directing my sentiments towards straight men. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that straight guys are just... I wish that they could find a way to break the bonds of heteronormativity and this sort of one dimensionality to it. So, like, you know, come join us on the other side. We've got cookies. We've got, we've got beautiful orgasms for everyone. And it is a challenge, I feel, between, amongst sex educators to kind of break down that heteropatriarchy, even within ourselves. Like, you know, there are some aspects of sex where I have clocked myself into thinking that, like, oh, wow, that's actually not very sex positive of me. Like, for example, asexuality is something that I've always like clocked into, in the sense that I'm very critical of myself. What I mean by that is, when, like, for example, you said that you had asexual clients. So I was wondering, wait, how is that possible? Asexuals can still purchase your services? I thought that they were not interested in sex at all. Could you go into a little bit more of that?
Yeah, I was really honored when I had a few ace people subscribe to me. It certainly hasn't happened often by any means, but it made me proud to think that I was sort of bridging a gap between sex education and porn in that regard. The two people, or I think it was three, that subscribed and were messaging me were interested in my naked therapy services. So that's 50 minutes usually. We hang out. I'm naked. You can be naked if you want to. It's a Zoom call, and I just treat it like a friend slash counseling session. So it doesn't need to be sexual. Sometimes people have just paid to like hang out with me, and I'm like, sweet, yeah, let's talk about movies and stuff. And then other times people have shared with me their insecurities if they're struggling with their partner or their single life or past sexual experiences and that sort of thing. So I had one ace client sign up and just ask me a lot of questions about myths around sex. And it was pretty clear to, you know, I can't speak for them, but my assumption was they did not have a desire for sex, but they were very, very fascinated by it and just wanted to know more information. And it was pretty awesome having that perspective of just sort of more of an intellectual conversation. And I didn't really feel the need to like perform in any way. It was just, I'm a sex educator answering questions in that way. Plus, like, it seemed like that person really enjoyed nudity and like hanging out with a friend and being naked.
Like, there's so much to enjoy. Like, come on.
Exactly. But it felt very like innocent in a way. And I've actually noticed that even with my non-ace clients, if they just paid for nothing sexual to happen, we're just hanging out. It's a fun hang, and it can feel very like innocent and silly. I don't know. Like, you're in your birthday suit, nothing to hide. It's vulnerable, but it can be really silly. Let's shoot the shit. What the fuck? So it's also been very beautiful to explore how like being naked with somebody online in a casual way really opens up that playfulness and just brings down a lot of barriers. It's a really fun time. I'm really fucking lucky. I love my job.
I love that. You use the terminology naked therapy, and I was wondering what's so therapeutic about the nakedness of it. Like, what is the goal of naked therapy?
I think it's to really bring down walls and barriers that are normally there. I think, again, I'm in this sweet spot in my career where I'm allowed to do this. So I want to enjoy that as much as possible. And it's pretty lovely meeting somebody for the first time on Zoom and just kind of having that awkward but fun laughter of like, yeah, and we're both naked. There we are. And again, I'm not putting on the porny vibe. It's just me shooting the shit. So yeah, naked therapy is about the literal sense and the metaphorical sense of being raw and vulnerable in front of somebody, and what I aim for and trust for it to be a safe space. And again, with most of that being straight cis male clients, I'm pretty lucky I get to see that kind of vulnerability from them.
Okay, so not all of them are complete garbage. They're actually like willing to tear down their walls a little bit.
You know what? That's the soundbite right there. They're not all trash. And that's what I've learned. That's what my studies and research have showed me. Absolutely.
Oh my God. You mean to tell me that they're actually capable of respecting women?
I know. And like listening? The fuck?
Oh my God. Whenever I think of cis straight men, I always think back to this quote from Marilyn Fry, who wrote The Politics of Reality, Essays in Feminist Theory. And I'm going to paraphrase the quote, but basically what she's saying is that heterosexual male culture is homoerotic because it is essentially man-loving. Like, when straight guys look to each other. They're looking for admiration and respect and honor and reverence. But when they look at women, they're seeking kindness, generosity, paternalism, and like devotion, service, and sex. So in a way, being straight men is gay.
It's the gayest thing in the world.
It's the gayest thing in the world. Oh my God. When you think about it.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's like, bro, I want you to respect me with my muscles. And it's like, I'm sorry. To all the straight men listening here, that is the best impression that I can do of you. So take it or leave it.
No, again, it's like hilariously spot on. Like, I'm like, where did Tim go? And who is Todd that I'm talking to right now?
Then my alter ego is Todd, just like the absolute dick who wears gray
Todd
sweatpants
was the straightest
all the time.
Name I could. Todd was the straightest name I could think of pretty quickly. In general, like, two men sort of, even the example I gave earlier of when men have conversations about sex that aren't actually really productive, they're just kind of trying to impress each other. That's the gayest thing I've ever heard. Are you kidding me?
Isn't
like
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey bro, can you look at this thing on my dick and tell me if it's okay?
Well, in that case, that's like a true medical concern. that one I'm like fucking gay. I'm like, oh no, he's like worried about himself.
God,
that's a very
one of my one of my many icks. Ugh, God, men do better. Like, one of my icks is like when I see men run. Sorry, wait, hold on. Let me contextualize what I mean by that. When men run, just seeing them run. No, what I mean is like when I see men, like, you can run for fitness, whatever, that's fine. But when you run, like, you're late for something, then it's like, ew, are you?
Just a straight man in a rush, you're like, hard pass.
Yeah. Ew. Like, you're a full-grown adult. You should be, like, having your life in order so that you're never late for anything, so that you never run for anything. It's like, or even when men run for office, like, ugh, gross.
Good point. Okay, listen, a man jogging, cool. A man in a rush, I don't see why that's weird, but I support you. A man running for office, I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. Fuck that shit.
Please. You can't run a bath, let alone an entire country. Like, slow down.
Get it? It's true. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
It's so funny.
Or like when men have like those weird whites in the corner of their mouth the first thing in the morning. It's like, ew, why is that even on you? Get rid of it.
That's not a thing that femmes and non-binary people have.
Nope.
They just never get dry mouths. Straight men.
Girls, gays, and theys, we're allowed to have like gap teeth, a little thing dripping out of our nose. Because on us, it's cute. But on straight men, ew, hold yourself to a higher standard. Gross.
Incredible. I'm so happy right now. Oh, this is amazing.
Men have crooked teeth, it's like, if you can't get your teeth in order, how do you expect to get a relationship in order?
It's just a representation of the capitalism you created with these crooked
teeth. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
This is your problem that you made for yourself.
The crooked teeth represents the crooked systems that you implemented.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Crooked teeth equals absolute corruption. I mean, it doesn't take much mental gymnastics to get from A to B, from teeth to government.
All the signs are there. You just have to stay woke and look.
Yeah, seriously. God. Mm-hmm. All men are probably like a Leo or something. That's just what they're all full of themselves.
All men are Leos. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you're all just full of yourself. Right. You're like a Russian nesting doll, full of yourself, you know?
You're going to save your birthday till the end of the summer? Really? Like,
ew, find another birthday. Ew. God.
August? Like, okay. Great.
Ugh, the August Leos? Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm crying.
Jesus. No, I love the idea that, like, 10% of this podcast was really informative conversation, and the rest was just like, let's go through every detail on why straight men are just scum.
Garbage.
And this is just pure garbage. And this makes me so happy. Happy.
I always say on the show, I may be a certified sex educator, but that does not make me a good one. Okay. People sign up to listen to this show with my fair warning that, like, this is swill, it's gonna offend some guys, whatever, but I don't say I didn't warn you. It's literally absolutely in the trailer where I was like, get ready to get uncomfortable. So, and also, like, for anyone that needs clarification, not that this should, but we're not making fun of straight men, okay? We here at Sex Ed with Tim are poking fun at patriarchy, at the oppressive systems, at the larger picture, because this is what's keeping us from feeling our most authentic sexual selves. I always say that, like, to reach absolute freedom, a part of that is sexual freedom. And our right to govern our own body however we want without some man telling us what to do. It's like power of government. Ugh. No, that's literally oppression. Like, don't tell a woman that she should keep a baby. And, like, what? I don't know. Get a vasectomy before you go around spreading your seed. It's reversible. It's fine. I always thought about that. It's like, why tell women to go on Plan B or go on birth control and not tell a guy to be as active about their birth control as a woman? Like, we should be telling more guys to get vasectomies if they're so scared of, like, you know, having a kid or whatever. It's absolutely kind of like saying, how people should wear more bulletproof vests rather than telling people, how about you unload your gun?
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. And think of, like, do you know one person who's had a good experience on the pill? Every single femme I've ever met who went on the pill has had either deep depression or a psychotic break. But for some reason, vasectomies still are like, oh, no, we can't go there.
Yeah, it's literally the quickest outpatient procedure. And it's, guess what? Reversible. So you can, it's so quick. Like, yeah, you have to abstain from sex for like a week to recover. Oh, boo-hoo. But like, it's a week without sex to, like, you know, compared to a lifetime with a baby. Ugh, like, I don't know. Call me old school, but I think one outweighs the other.
Agreed.
That's so weird.
To say the least.
Yeah.
So weird. Couldn't agree more. It's just so connected to, like, uterine healthcare being taken way out of proportion and just not giving a fuck of the results, which are, this is fucking dangerous and brutal for a lot of people who go on the pill or exactly. Other forms of birth control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. This is why it's so tiring for you guys, because you created your own thing. And also, speaking of tired, it's another ick of mine when I see men yawn. Ugh, gross. Cover your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cover your tired. Mouth. Absolutely.
Good. Like, how do I expect you to have energy to date me if you're tired all the time? Like, doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Oh, you're tired from your 9 to 5? Cute. Like, I don't care. Don't care.
Why don't you try what it's like being a girl, gay, or a they? That's exhausting even in our sleep. Okay. Only we're allowed to sleep. They have to work full time to undo the damage of heteropatriarchy. 365.
Exactly. 24/7, 365. Oh, well done. God.
Well, Fiona, we are coming up to the end of the show. I know, it's sad. I wish I could talk forever, but we do have to like let the audience go too, because they probably had enough of our sexiness and we're not giving them of our time for free, for free.
Yeah, this is a teaser. Absolutely.
It's just a little teaser. But before we wrap up, and I myself never wrap anything up, can you please make like a butt and plug away anything you want the audience to find?
Thanks, friend. Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. My account is smut_therapy. Most of my OnlyFans is also just based on that regard. So my OnlyFans is also smut_therapy. And sign up for Naked Therapy. We just have a Zoom call for 50 minutes. We hang out, shoot the shit. And you can DM me on Instagram or subscribe to my OF and you get a discount.
Yay! Thank you so much, Fiona, for being an amazing guest. And thank you to all my lovely listeners that have made it this far into this chaotic-ass conversation. If you like what you hear, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. You are supporting sex education content. You're supporting queer content, because if you don't support our content, then that makes you a homophobe. I do not make the rules. This is your rules that you made up. So, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. I will see you all at the next one. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Sex Ed with Tim is created and produced by me, Tim Lagman. Music is Aces High by Kevin MacLeod. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at GaySlutClown and at Sex Ed with Tim. You can also like and follow me on the Sex Ed with Tim Facebook page. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for all your support, you dirty little slut. Mwah.